Good morning, welcome everybody. Glad to see you here today. I'm going to have you look at the announcements on the back of the worship folder for a lot of them. There's a lot on there. There is a couple I want to bring out. There's the prayer meeting. I want to keep reminding everybody to come and join us in prayer on Wednesdays. It's great. You just have to go through the website to Zoom and you're there. So it works really good. And then the other thing is our women's spring connection is, the deadline is April 25th, but it's May 4th is when we go to Newburgh. So it's not even that far. And it'll be a great time with all the women of the Church of God. So if you're interested, be sure and sign up. See Donna. So let's go to the Lord and pray. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have this place to come and worship today, Lord. And we are praising you that Joel and Glenn are here and they brought Alice. We're just thankful. We just pray a blessing on this service, Lord. We pray that you open our hearts as we sing praises to you, and that the message that you have put on Joel's heart will just be what we need to hear. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we have together. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, next we have our call to worship. And it is Romans 11:33. You want to stand?
Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways.
Boy, isn't that the truth? Thank you, Lord. All right, so we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to start with Soon and Very Soon. That'll get us moving here.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the King.
That was a warm up.
I got a tickle in my...
All right. I am a friend of God.
Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
Amen. Doesn't that feel good to know you're a friend of God's? Yeah. All right. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
I love this one.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I've wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, he met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were turn today. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took of the offer of grace he did proffer, he saved me, oh praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night has turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and blessings eternal from his precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul.
Love that song. Mm-hmm. All right. Father, I adore you.
Father, I adore you.
Somebody's excited to sing the children's song today. So I think we kind of practiced it even before church. I think he just came up.
Am I the only kid here?
No, there's a whole bunch of children of God right out there. Aren't you glad we're all children?
No, I mean, me. Am I the only kid here today?
Yes. You're the only young kid, but there's an adolescent too. But he's holding your hand. All right. If you're online today, please remember that you can go to tithely.com and so contribute to the work and ministry here. And we hope as people jump on and watch during the week that they can do that. Otherwise, those of us who are here, we will give back from the abundance he has given us, not just each other, but with our finances. Father, Lord, thank you for what you give us, all the things that are worth more than money, family, friendship, church fellowship, your very presence that goes before us, you calling us and us being able to call you friend. We also say thank you for the money that is the lubrication that makes this world work. And we thank you for enough of it to keep our lives maintained and working for you. Please take what we have to give back today and multiply it tenfold again, as only you can. Amen. Good morning, church. God bless you. Now's a good, Joel, I can't wait to hear what you say, but this is the best time. We get to pray together. We get to lift each other up and the needs and hurts we're having and the praises of what he's done for us. And so I just want to say thank heavens that my father-in-law continues to improve. He is going to be off of home health care and able to go back to normal physical therapy. So that's continued improvement. So yes for that. Praise God for that. And then Sarah and Claire aren't feeling really great. So they're home today, but the boys and I are here. And I would ask you guys continue to pray for her upcoming surgery on the 20th. We don't want another delay so that she can get her adenoids and tonsils out and feel well. But I will say God continues to bless me with amazing staff workers that I work with at work. I am just very grateful for that still. As the year goes on for us teachers, it kind of drags through to the end sometimes. And to have some really loving, caring peers is great. So I just want to say that once more. Ongoing praise for me this year. Bill. So Bill's brought three requests, so let's repeat them really quick for those of you online so you can hear them. One is Robert McDonald, a coworker with a hip replacement that is going well, so a praise and prayer request for continued healing. Another coworker, Michael Oyunde, his daughter is in stage 4 breast cancer, and they found some lymph node activity as well. So prayer for her to beat that. And then the last thing you said was for the men's retreat, upcoming men's retreat, prayer that the Lord will lay the groundwork on that and prepare the hearts to hear what Brad has to say. Any other prayer requests or praises? Debbie. Yep. Prayer for hearts affected by those that have passed on. I know Anya has come and helped at your house some too, Debbie. So and a lot of you know Deborah Manso. Anya was one of her kids. It's a grandchild that... Anya is a grandchild. Sorry. There we go. Okay. All right. They had a baby that did not make it, that was preterm. And so prayer for them and their hearts. Holy Spirit, reach into those hearts. We know they've been touched. We know there's people that have planted seeds. Come water it now. Come water it now. And then, of course, with Georgia's passing, that affects Sean and Carol Baker and even more of the family, but most of us know Sean and Carol. So prayer for peace and healing in their hearts with the loss of George. Okay. Are there any other? Judy. So Judy is asking for prayer for a tenant family of hers from Colorado, and it's a newborn. So it's, I don't know if that would be Elisa, maybe, but anyway. So prayer for Chris and Jessica's daughter. They are the tenants in Colorado, and their daughter is, did you say, like about 2 months old? And oh, 5 months old. And they don't know why she's not getting oxygen. So prayer to figure that out, and the little one will be taken care of. See, I saw another hand. Rhonda. Yes. Yes. So Rhonda is lifting up a huge praise. Her granddaughter Grace has made great progress recovering from seizure activity earlier this year. Her brain scans are clear, and they get to start taking her off of anti-seizure meds. Prayer for and praise for her husband Ken, that he has some more testing to get through to figure out what's going on, but that a biopsy of his stomach just showed it was scar tissue. And so... they figured it out beforehand. They didn't have to stick a needle in a place that's had needles stuck in it for years. So that's good. Josh. So Josh is praising God that he had some very positive outcomes on his test results, especially for the colon testing, that he's free and clear and healthy. And then the second thing, Josh, was I think you got to go to a friend's birthday party. And there's a lot of people there, and that's not something you normally get to do, but it was fun to be with that many people at a meal. Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else? Let's go together as one family. God Almighty, author of this universe, author of our lives, giver and sustainer of both and everything in between, thank you for being God. If any one of us even tried, we would screw it all up. So thank you, Lord, for being God Almighty, who we can trust, who we know loves us, who will deal justly and righteously with us out of your love for us to grow. Thank you for that blessed assurance. Lord, we ask for that blessed assurance to come over the hearts of many who have been affected by some heavenly homecomings this last week. For Sean and Carol Baker, and for Anya and her husband, and Deborah Manso, and Lord, for families affected by souls returning to your throne. Lord, for illnesses not confirmed, we praise you. For illnesses unknown, we ask that you guide the doctors we see to swift and complete diagnoses and courses of correction. Lord, we lift up Bill's co-workers, Lord, and we praise you that one is recovering well, and we just lay before your feet the Oyendi family with a cancer concern. Father God, for the family in Colorado that Judy mentioned, Lord, there is something so very scary for them with their little girl. Give them the peace, Lord, that passes all understanding to know that you care for their daughter even more than them, and they can trust you through this moment. Lord, for members of the congregation not able to be here today, Lord, we ask that this service bless them and that they feel through the Holy Spirit our great love for their fellowship and for those you are to bring to this congregation still. Prepare our hearts to receive them. Lord, we ask that you lift up the words that are going to come from Pastor Joel today, that they hit our hearts with all the force the Holy Spirit can bring to us, that they convict us and motivate us, and yet remind us of your great love for us. And finally, Lord, we lift up the leaders of this land, and we ask, Father God, you give wisdom to all who would lead over us politically or otherwise. that they would make choices that benefit all and show your love to everyone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Bubba. What's the name of the song? Do you remember? Do you remember?
God's Not Dead.
God's Not Dead. Yeah. Didn't you just watch that movie with me a few minutes ago? Or a few weeks ago? God's Not Dead?
I've listened to a song about it.
Yeah, the Newsboy song, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This isn't that one.
God's Not Dead. He surely alive.
Now, on this one, there's a surfer moment. Did you know that? You can go like this. Ready? No, 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 no. Okay. Do you think you can do it? All right, let's find out. God's not dead. He is alive. God's not dead. He is alive. God's not dead. He is alive, and I know that he's living in me. He's living in my hands. He's living in my feet. He's living in the air. He's living everywhere. He's living at the church. He's living at the beach. And I know that he's living in me. You ready? You got to do the no, 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 no. It's ready?
No, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no. God's not dead. He is alive. God's not dead. He is alive, God's not dead.
No!
He is alive, and I know that he's living in me. He's living in my hands, he's living in my feet. He's living in the air, he's living everywhere. He's living in the church, he's living at the beach. Know that he's living in you.
You know what?
No, 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 God's not dead. He is alive. God's not dead. He is alive. God's not dead. He is alive, and I know that he's living in me. Father, Lord, thank you for living in the hearts of our little ones.
It's like we never notice that God's actually alive.
Ah.
It's like we like almost never notice.
But is he living in you?
But we still know.
But
we just don't notice.
Yeah.
We can't see him until we go to heaven.
But can we trust that he's with us until then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's say a prayer and thank him for that.
But I know everyone would want to be part of God's kingdom, but I know God's angels will someday separate the godly people from the ungodly people. And the godly people live in heaven forever, but people that are ungodly go to hell and die and stay dead forever instead of going to heaven and living. So, yep.
Can we say a prayer for everybody that we all go to heaven and that we all help each other go? All right. Father God, thank you for the mouth of babes. And help us return in our hearts to being a babe. Ready for your milk and honey. Always willing to accept your love and your teaching, even if it comes from the mouth of babes. Thank you. Amen.
I just heard your phone.
You did, didn't it?
It's hard to preach after you've had a child preach the same sermon that you were going to preach and do a better job at it. Well, I want to say it's good to be back with you. It's good to see you. Judy, thanks for inviting me. the Lord gave me this sermon right after Judy texted me to come and preach today. And he has been adding all kinds of things to give it a certain level of dimension, which I hope will make things new. I think I've actually preached this sermon here twice already, starting back in, when did I come here? 2007? It's been a while. We live in a very difficult time. We've got two world wars going on, or two wars that could possibly break into world war. We're dealing with all kinds of bizarre challenges here in our home country. We see all kinds of cultural challenges where it seems like common sense has been thrown out the window. And the thing that is really unfortunate, I keep seeing statistics that talk about this, is that a lot of people who were at peace before, were calm before, are now stressing out. Does anybody here feel a little bit of stress about things going on today in our culture? Three of us. The thing that I find so interesting is that the redefining of terms. For example, one thing that is being defined in our culture is that criminals, those who are breaking the law, are described as victims. The police are being described as criminals. And anybody who thinks otherwise, well, you can fill in a great big long list of possible descriptors that culture has added to those people. And as I was praying about this portion, I saw a quote from Mario Murillo. Anybody familiar with Mario? Mario is an evangelist out of San Francisco. His quote was, whenever evil is exalted, God looks for a deliverer. He's looking for people who will obey. He's looking for people who will seek his will, praise him, thank him, and being willing to step forward in whatever it is that's set out before him or her. Just to re-emphasize some of the things that we were talking about the last time I was here, I want to emphasize the fact that salvation is active. We have a living faith, an active faith, a faith that causes us to live our lives and allow Christ to live within us. That's the one. Perfect. Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. We're not just getting saved and then sitting in the pew and completely being oblivious. We are called to share the gospel. We're called to give an account for the joy that's in our hearts. When was the last time you shared your testimony? Just think about it. I don't want to see hands and I don't want confessions. But I do want you to think about this. When was the last time you gave your testimony? And does it really describe what happened? Does it show the closeness that all of a sudden you have with the Lord? Our faith, our salvation is active. All right. Debbie, the next one, Colossians. There we go. This has been a verse that has rattled my cage for a few years now. That is, the mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but now has been revealed to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what the wealth of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles is, the mystery that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now remember, we sang something about the Holy Spirit in me. Anybody remember that? That's where our relationship needs to grow. We need to grow in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. What is he saying? What is he doing? What is he calling to you to step into? And what is the gifting that he has blessed you with? He has given a gift to every person, and he wants you to use it, to live it out, and to expand the kingdom. Yeah, it's a little mystical, but it's also a lot of fun. I actually think that one of my spiritual gifts is whipped cream. You know, you have Thanksgiving just was a few months ago, and my belief is that you put enough whipped cream on your pumpkin pie, and if you can see the pumpkin pie, you haven't got enough whipped cream. All right. Debbie, let's go to the next one, John 15. With that, the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Holy Spirit's living in your hearts, he wants us to stay connected to him. So every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, but must remain in the vine. So neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. That's why we need to build that relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's a simple biblical truth. It's part of the blessing that God has promised us. We're not just sitting in the pews, we're being active. How does that work? Debbie, John 10. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This is just part of a more important... Follow me. This is just part of a more important point that we need to embrace. You know, it's funny if you condense the gospel down or the life of Christ down to just real simple highlights. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He was crucified, and on the third day, he rose. He lived for 40 days and was seen by hundreds and hundreds of people. Then he said something very interesting. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And then he ascended into heaven, where he sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of our hearts. That's where that relationship with Christ continues. The Holy Spirit is not just called the Holy Spirit in Scripture, it's also called the Spirit of Christ. I don't know if you remember me teaching on the Trinity. This was 10 years ago, so the pop quiz probably is long overdue. But the whole idea is that God is God, he's the Father. But in the midst of who he is, from his nature, from his substance, from his spirit, he created Jesus, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why they're all one, because they're all of one substance. We don't worship, we don't exalt three gods, but we get to see three characters, three personalities of God. He presents himself as Father. He presents himself as the Son, the Messiah, the Promised One. And he presents himself as the Holy Spirit, which lives inside of our hearts. Through all of this, our faith, our lifestyle should be active because we have this relationship. One of the most interesting things for me right now is that when I pray and I ask God a question, just like any father would, he teaches me, as if I were perhaps a toddler. And I do spit up every once in a while. Just keep that in mind. But the reality here is that God wants each of us to speak with him, to pray to him. And then the most difficult thing for most people, especially in the Western world, we need to be silent and listen for his voice. What is he saying? It's interesting that as I've been as I've been reading through Scripture the last few years, I begin to see that wisdom, God's wisdom, and his will go hand in hand. God isn't just giving us a bunch of information or a checklist or a to-do list that we can put on our phone. He's actually growing us up. He's knocking off the rough edges. He's polishing us up. I think that's really exciting. With this in mind, let's go on to... I'm sorry, I've forgotten. Landon. I've forgotten Landon's name, but Landon, this is your scripture. Matthew 25, 31. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, just as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty, and I gave you something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited Me in. Naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the King will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of Mine, you did it for Me." Then He will also say to those on His left, "Depart from Me, you accursed people, into the eternal fire," which, you see how well He nailed it with what He said up here? I mean, good grief, He's got my scripture. Or I've got His scripture. Into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. "For I was hungry, and you gave Me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite Me in. Naked, and you did not clothe Me." That's funny. If you're looking at my scripture, naked, and you did not clothe Me. Sick. It actually continues on. "Sick and in prison, and you did not visit Me." Then they themselves also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or as a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then He will answer them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for Me either." These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Now, when you take a look at this scripture, there's a lot of ways of interpreting it. There are people out there that say, we only have to do these six things. Feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, and a stranger, visit those in prison and in sick, those who are sick. And I began to realize that, and I realized this a long time ago, and I hope some of you remember when I mentioned this, but this is not a complete list. Those people who think this is a complete list, that are more of a social concept of ministry, I mean, you can see where this would all fall apart. Let's take, for example, you have somebody who's running in front of your house, trips over a crack in your sidewalk, they fall and they break their hip. So for somebody who believes that this is a complete list, they'd say, okay, well, they're laying down, they're clearly hurt. Are they hungry? Nope. Are they thirsty? Nope. Are they naked? Nope. Are they a stranger? Nope. Are they in person? Are they in prison? Nope. Are they sick? They're not sick. They're hurt. They're injured. So I've done my job. We can just move right on and leave the person laying on the sidewalk. That is completely ridiculous. See, what God is trying to communicate to us, that number one, our faith is active. You see somebody in need, you minister to that need, whatever it is. We can take it a step farther forward. And that is, that we are to minister to the person in front of us. God will bring people in front of us all the time who have a desperate need. Sometimes it's just prayer. And to be honest, I'm really grateful for the prayer list you have in the worship folder. And I'm grateful for all the things that were mentioned here this morning. I love the fact that you guys are praying. That shows that you're doing the gospel. At least part of it anyway. But you minister to the person in front of you. Now, good. I want to change directions in this sermon this morning. Some of you know that Glenn and I just got back from a cruise. Several members of Glenn's family. Go ahead and put the picture of me up. We take cruising very seriously. But I've been told that being on a cruise ship or being on an excursion is where I minister the best. I'm relaxed. I'm away from home. And it's very easy to see the needs of people in a different country. Now, I think we were lost at sea on this picture. But we went to the Bahamas this year. And it was a great 8-day cruise. Some of you may remember that I like to remember those papers we did when we were kids, what we did on our summer vacation? I'd like to share with you what I did on our cruise. And about Christmas time, I started praying, God, I want to have an encounter with you. I want you to minister to me so I can minister to others. Show me what I need to do. And over the next few weeks, now we left mid-January, and about a week before we left, one of Glenna's sisters and her husband came over for dinner, and we were just going to enjoy just hanging out together, and we were also going to talk about what we were expecting from our cruise. And as we were talking, we discovered that Glenna's sister and her husband had scheduled their flights one day too late. They may or may not, most likely not, make it to the cruise terminal on time. And there was a general panic, and everybody started pulling out calendars and started pulling out phones, and they started pulling out confirmations. Now, why might this be a challenge? Remember what happened in mid-January? All the snow and the ice and flights being canceled. So this was a real interesting challenge. And so eventually I realized that all of my snarky comments and being ridiculous were not being helpful. One of the few times that my ridiculous comments are not helpful. But I started praying. And at one point, Glenn and I were praying together, and eventually we, all four of us, were praying. But they finally got what they thought. Their flights were all figured out, and how they were going to make it to the cruise terminal on time. But we spent time in prayer, seeking God. So the day of our getting to PDX, the Portland Airport, came, and we had packed our belongings, and we were sitting waiting for our plane, and we had 12 people in our group, Glenn. There were 12 of us on the cruise together having fun. But we ended up with another couple from our group, and we actually spent a brief moment praying for this other couple that may or may not make it on time, assuming that their flights were actually not going to be canceled, that they were going to be great. And so we prayed, we got into our flight, and we headed off to Charlotte, North Carolina, where that was our layover on the airlines. And so we just talked, and we were having a good time. And all of a sudden, I noticed this older gentleman with this great big ring on. And it was like I was attracted to it. I just had to go over and get a closer look. And I sat down across from this gentleman. He said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Is that a championship ring of some type?" And he said, "Well, yeah, it is." I said, "Well, that's great. Congratulations." He said, well, it really wasn't me or anything. We have a head coach of our basketball team. And then that's when I noticed that we were surrounded by a bunch of really tall young guys and a bunch of a smaller group of old guys who were obviously the coaches. And he said, yeah, our head coach, he kind of dragged us all along. And the reason why we won the championship of that particular division was because of our head coach. In fact, you probably know him. I said, oh, really? I don't know a lot of people on the East Coast. But it turns out that, well, how many people are going to see this? Okay, well, I don't know if any of you remember the name Reggie Theus. Reggie Theus is a two-time NBA All-Star. He was on the rookie team. He is currently still on the top 100 all-time scorers of the NBA. He said, he's our head coach. He's right over there. He's the tall guy. And so he finally turned to me and he said, so what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. And all of a sudden he started screaming, James, James, come over here. And James is this great big tall broomstick skinny guy. And he said, James has been called to ministry. His family has a church. His grandfather was a senior pastor. Now his father is a senior pastor. And a few years he will become a pastor there and eventually become the senior pastor. And James came over and he said, this guy here, pointing at me, this is a pastor. And I just wanted you two to meet. And I ended up feeling from the Lord that I wanted to bless his ministry and protect his calling. We all know the challenges in culture today where people or pastors are leaving the ministry in outrageous numbers every month. And I was just praying that this young pastor who has a calling on his life would be blessed. And so we prayed. And halfway through my prayer, I did something evil. I peeked. All the assistant coaches and all the players that were at that table, they had all bowed their heads when they were praying with us. It was just awesome. A secular basketball team full of people of faith. God is putting leaven in places to permeate the dough of secular universities. They're just not getting a lot of press. Anyway, so I bowed my head again and we just continued to pray. And finally, I prayed everything that I felt like the Lord said. And we said, amen. And I looked at the guy next to me and he had this wrist brace on. I said, well, what happened to you? He said, well, I was going up for a shot and this guy fouled me. He came up underneath me and kind of flipped me over and I came down stiff-armed. And so it was going to be a few weeks before he was going to be playing again. And of course, that bandage was wrapped around it to protect it. And I said, well, can I pray for you? He said, sure. Once again, all the heads bowed and we prayed for this guy who had a hurt wrist. And when I had finished, I asked him how it felt. He said, well, it feels a little better. It still hurts, but better. I thought, well, God is doing things a little bit at a time. He's blessing people. And then the assistant coach took me over and I got to meet Reggie Theus. Now, this is really, really kind of cool because we haven't even gotten to our port yet. And we're ministering to people. I'm getting an opportunity to pray those things that I feel like God is calling me to pray. Before we left Charlotte, or before the basketball team left Charlotte, I prayed just a general blessing over the team. And I was really grateful that they were allowing me to continue to pray. Yes, that's the prayer meeting, by the way, where we were praying. You can kind of see heads bowed. The guy just by the elbow on the left, sitting down, he's the guy that had a great big championship ring. Anyway, so we were continuing. We got on the flight, and we ended up in Mobile, Alabama, which is where our port was. And we were still continuing to pray for Glenn's sister and brother-in-law. We were hoping that they were going to make it on time. You never know when flights are being canceled. And so one of Glenna's other sister's husbands, when they got in, they said that he watched the airline take his suitcase off the plane. Literally, it didn't get under in the storage. It was literally sitting on the tarmac as they were taking off. And naturally, at that sense, panic when you don't think your clothes are going to be there, or your medications, or your toiletries. And you know, I just had this warped idea that it'd be fun to see my brother-in-law in a muumuu. But the whole thing for that is we started praying that his suitcase would show up. And so he called the airlines and he said, oh yeah, there, it's here and we'll send it on the next plane. And it just happened to be the same plane that this Glenna's sister and her husband were on that we'd been praying for. So the suitcase showed up, the other couple showed up. We were greatly relieved. But we were spending so much time in prayer over all this. It was great. We got to Mobile, Alabama, and we checked into our hotel, and there was 10 of us there that morning when the shuttle driver drove up and collected us and took us heading to the cruise port. And normally I'm the chatty Kathy, but Glenna did a great job kind of questioning him and interrogating him and finding out about him. And it turns out that she was trying to arrange shuttle back from the cruise port to the Mobile, Alabama airport. And it turns out that he wasn't going to be able to take us back from the cruise port to the airport because he's a pastor and he has to preach on Sunday. And so he took us up to the cruise terminal. We started unloading our bags and we were just talking with him. And I heard the Lord say, pray for him. And so I hugged him and I said, you know, I'm a pastor too. And he hugged me back. We spent time praying together, and I blessed him, and we gave each other a big hug, squeeze, bear hug at the end, and he just walked away with a smile on his face. It was wonderful to see what was going on in his life. He has a church of 250 people, and he needs to have a second job just to make ends meet. Now, I know things are getting more and more expensive all the time, but with 250 people in a church, you should be able to eke out even a minimal living. So we get on the cruise ship and we take our stuff to our room and we start just having a great time relaxing. If you want to put the pirate picture up, you can put that back up there for a second, because we are very, very serious about our cruising. I was studying my Bible on the Lido deck, and I had my notepad out, and I was just taking notes and praying and reading my Bible, and this guy came up to me, and he was a busboy on the Lido deck where all the food is, and he just came up to me and said, today's my birthday, would you pray for me? When people are asking for prayer, you know, hearts are hungry. And so he said, sure, and I took his hand and we prayed together. And I blessed him and that he would have a great birthday and that things would be going well for him. And eventually we came to an end. We said amen. And he smiled and he said thank you. And he went wandering off. Following Thursday, I saw him again. Of course, I was on the Lido deck where all the food is. And he came up to me and said, can I talk to you? I said, sure. And he started telling me a story about the challenges that he's having at home. His girlfriend, who he has two children with, is breaking up with him. He's on a cruise ship trying to make money so that they can, as a family, can make ends meet. And he felt just like all the efforts that he's making doesn't mean anything to her. And she's going to wander off with his kids. And he said to me that he was feeling suicidal. It's like life is not worth living. It's time to take my life and be done. And he started sharing with me all the challenges that were going through his life. And I said, I want to pray for you again. He said, good, that's why I stopped. And so we prayed together and we prayed against the spirit of suicide. We prayed against the spirit of death. We prayed against anything coming against their relationship because he does want to marry her. It's just very difficult when she's on their Caribbean island and he's on the cruise ship. And so we did. We spent a lot of time praying. We spent a lot of time talking. And finally, he looked up and he saw his boss staring at him and said, I need to go. But could we pray sometime before I leave the ship? I said, absolutely. Personally, I think that's what God was building up to. All the people that I prayed for, all the challenges that were there, it was building my faith to know that God is still willing to answer our prayers. Even a suicidal guy who's hundreds of miles away from the woman that he loves and his kids, who he also very much loves. So I made a point of looking around that last day and seeing if I could find him because he wanted me to pray for him again. And let's come back to that. One evening, we were at dinner, and there was a friend of ours who had, was it a brain aneurysm? A brain aneurysm. And he was in the hospital here in Portland somewhere. And they were just asking people to pray. And we were talking about it as we were finishing our dinner. And everybody started getting up, and I said, hey, let's stop for a second. Let's pray for him. And so we did. We prayed. We stopped right there and prayed. In the middle of the dining room, full of all kinds of cruise passengers, this man did eventually die. It's difficult to come back from a brain aneurysm. But truthfully, if anybody can reverse a brain aneurysm, it's the Lord. Nothing is impossible with him. And as we pray, we need to pray in faith, whatever it is. We can't use logic. We need to use faith. And it's when we see God do something, like all the other answers to prayer, we pray boldly. We come boldly before the throne of grace because God does answer prayers. Tragically, sometimes he says no, and that's tragically from our perspective because we do not have the big picture. Our call to worship this morning, we talked about God's ways being different and we don't understand them. I shared with you Isaiah 55. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. That's why we need to be seeking God and listening to his voice so that we know how to pray. We know what God's will is. Regardless, we still need to step out in faith. We need to be bold. And so we prayed. Now, we also prayed for my sister-in-law, Julie. They live on a hill. And during the ice and snow, she fell and messed up her wrist, kind of similar to the basketball player. And so we were praying that she would be healed and that God would help her out. And it has eventually gotten better. There was also one other thing. It was late night Friday. I was walking down the halls. We were heading back to our cabin. And there was an officer in the hallway talking to two of the room stewards. And he said there was a Carnival cruise ship that was just off the coast of Mexico that was caught in a storm and they were in peril. And it's funny that I should just happen to be walking by, interesting coincidence, when this officer is talking about this ship that's in trouble. And he explained it to me in detail, and then I said, well, I'm a pastor, would you let me pray? And he said, yes. And so right there in the hallway, on deck 7 of this ship, we prayed that this ship would make it back to port and everybody would be fine. And I don't think that this officer thought the ship was going to make it because he said, would you mind leading the crew in a prayer time tomorrow morning? It's fascinating to see how God works and opens doors for us to touch people's hearts and to meet those needs and fulfill the will of God. Well, I said, what time do you want to meet and where? And he gave me directions. And he said, you know, it'd be best if you were there between like 5 and 6 in the morning. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm on vacation, 5 and 6 in the morning. And so I got up and I was down where we were, had chosen to meet, and he didn't show up. And I thought to myself, this is just harsh. And I went back and I thought about it, and I said, we never exchanged names, phone numbers, cabin numbers. He just, if the ship was in going to be in continued challenges, in peril, then they would all be there. And I heard later that the ship made it back to Galveston. But I think it was just an honor to be asked. And it didn't point to me. It pointed to the Lord who was putting things together. Remember, I prayed for an encounter. God is answering my prayers. On our last day, we were on our way off the ship. We were standing in line, getting ready to go through security to get on the gangplank. And I saw the busboy from the Lido deck. And he just came walking by really quickly, saw me, came over, gave me a big hug. And we spent some time praying one more time together. And the Lord had me pray a little bit different ideas for him. It's almost as if he had resigned himself not to take the extreme route, but to choose life. And so we just continued to pray together. Eventually we hugged each other, and he went off and continued to do his work, and we decided to come home. But the reality is that we can have an encounter wherever we are, whether it's Bi-Mart, McDonald's, Coleman's is closed, right? You can have an encounter at Coleman's. Nobody will be there, but you can have an encounter if you like. But God is just waiting for us to walk around and do those things that He's calling us to do. We're looking for open doors. We're looking for opportunities. We're looking to step in and listen both to the person who's speaking and to the Holy Spirit who we're developing a relationship with, that we can have an encounter with God, and that this person that we're praying for can have an encounter with God. It is one of the most important, fascinating things that we can do in this time with so much turmoil in our culture. We need to be the ones who are stewarding our relationship with the Prince of Peace. And what our culture needs today is peace. Everything I did on that ship is not something that was meant for a pastor. It's something that was meant for a Christian. We all have different spheres of influence. And when we take our relationship with God into those spheres of influence, there are doors that are opening up. That's the spheres of influence can also be with people that we don't know. Praying for people in restaurants. Praying for, well, Ivan, I appreciate your prayer for our governmental leaders this morning. If there's ever a group of people who need prayer, my goodness. We take the presence of the Lord with us. We take our relationship with Him with us. The last thing I want to say is that this is really what the Christian life is like. It's when we celebrate who God is, we're in a relationship with Him, and then we take that relationship and minister to others. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your love and Your goodness to us. Father, I pray right now that You take each one of us and You help us to grow in a relationship with You in such a way that we hear Your voice and we can take Your presence and minister to other people. Father, we ask right now that not only would we have an encounter with You, but that those that You want us to care for, people that You have cross our path, that they would have an encounter with You. Father, bless us and fill us, encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, could the ushers come forward? Now hold it until we can all take this together, but be blessed. At the Last Supper, they were gathered around the table, and Jesus took the bread, and he said, "This is my body. It's broken for you." As often as you remember this particular moment, do this in remembrance of me. Just take the bread again. Then he took the cup. He said, "This is my blood shed for you. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." Let's take this together. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the opportunity to be your children, to take communion, to remember who you are. Father, we just thank you that this is the physical touchstone that encourages us and reminds us that Jesus Christ did die on the cross, that his sacrifice was for all of us, and his blood covers our sins. Father, we just bless you for thinking so far ahead for all of us who are so forgetful. Father, in these things we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to stand and we're going to close with Family of God.
I'm so glad. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. You will notice we say brother. brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joy dears with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God.
It really has been great to be with you this morning, here with you this morning. Kind of enjoy seeing all your smiling faces. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you once again for an opportunity to worship you, to praise you, to acknowledge how wonderful you are. You are great and mighty and powerful, and you've called us to be your children. Father, we are so grateful for that connection. So, children of God, go in peace amid the love of God, go with you. Be blessed as you go in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.